Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:44 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 17th. I thought we'd kick off with the intraday chart for oil. It's down $1.74. We had a lot of volatility in the last hour of trading yesterday, where an initial advance was reversed. The price fell $5 from peak to trough. Then in the after hours, it was recouped to a certain extent and then given up throughout most of today. But the most important thing here is that oil prices are coming down. They're not surging higher. And the peak was 4 days ago. Now, in the short term, we still have a sequence of higher reaction lows. And the price hasn't pulled back in an especially dynamic manner. So we're still in a bullish environment overall. But when we look at the media coverage of the stress between the USA, NATO, and Russia in the Ukraine, one would anticipate that prices should be surging higher because of all this talk about an imminent invasion. One thing I think is interesting is that the USA is talking about the threat of an imminent invasion, but they're not saying that they're going to intervene. Russia is accumulating forces around the periphery of the Ukraine, but is saying that they're not going to invade. So we definitely have a lot of brinksmanship going on. And I think in many respects, NATO is calling Russia's bluff. But the more important point is that oil prices aren't rising. So the energy markets, at least, are beginning to at least give some credence to the view that there isn't going to be an invasion. And instead, it's more likely there'll be some kind of negotiated settlement. But gold is popping on the upside. And when we look at this weekly chart, it's up $27 today, testing the $1,900 area, but very clearly breaking the 18-month sequence of lower major rally highs. Now, we've had a sequence of higher reaction lows since March of last year, and that's generally a sign of accumulation. But it's been a jolly long time in consolidating, and a lot of people had given up hope. And now we're starting to see it breaking on the upside. Now we have a short-term overbought condition. But the important point to remember about ranges is that when they're completed, then we tend to get explosive moves. And they go oversold, and they go overbought, and then they stay overbought. And the breakout will persist for as long as it takes supply to start to become dominant again. And the last time we saw a really clear breakout in gold was right around June of 2019. The price had been ranging for the better part of 6 years. And when it broke out, then within a very short period of time, it had tacked on about $175 and then had a bit of a consolidation. And over the course of the next year, had rallied really significantly and pushed on to new all-time highs. And we've had a pretty lengthy consolidation since then. 18-month consolidations were practically the norm and to be expected during the last big bull market. So this has been another one of those. The big commonality last time out was that these 18-month consolidations were completed in the Septembers of uneven years. Well, that's clearly not happening on this occasion. So history rhymes, it doesn't repeat itself. But if oil is starting to weaken and gold is strengthening, well, it's not just because of Russia. There's something else going on here. And I suspect that the University of Michigan consumer expectations has a lot to say about it. It's been trending down. And this is a very clear trend. So retail sales remain quite firm. But everything we've seen from this earnings season has been that companies have been beating what was expected of them in terms of earnings, and then their guidance has been coming in much less enthusiastically. We can look at some of the worst performers in here today. LKQ is a dealer in second-hand car parts for cars. They had their earnings today. They were positive, they were better than expected, but their guidance was negative. So the share pulled back in an exceptionally dynamic manner. NVIDIA had a similar situation. Their earnings were better than expected. Their guidance was negative. So the share is down and about approximately 8% off, right off the open in here today. And we're definitely seeing that companies that have been surprising on the negative guidance have been punished and punished hard by investors. So Facebook continues to deteriorate. The peak was back around $385 and we're down to 208. So this is a substantial pullback and we're back below the 1,000-day moving average. So this isn't just a correction. This could easily be the end of its bull market, and it's going to have to bounce and do so emphatically and sustain a move back above the 1,000-day moving average to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And Netflix was another company that had surprised in terms of its earnings, but then the guidance wasn't very good. So now it's steadying, or at least attempting to steady in the region of this 1,000-day moving average. And the reason I incorporated that 1,000-day moving average on the charts is because this is a medium-term correction. And generally in a bull market, when you're still in a rhythmically, consistently trending environment, the 200-day moving average will provide support more often than not. But when you get deeper corrections, then you get, and of course, it's usually in a secular bull market that reversions back to the 1,000-day moving average, generally represent some of the best buying opportunities. So, how well these shares perform in the region of this 1,000-day moving average, and whether they can then demonstrate support and rally, is going to be a clear measure of whether this is still a secular bull market for these individual companies. Now, when we look at the better performers, Apple, for example, has not yet broken below the 200-day moving average. In fact, it hasn't really even come close to coming back down to it. Microsoft is right in the region of the 200-day moving average. But it is weakening in here, and it did break its sequence of higher reaction lows. So we're still in a broadly corrective phase for markets. One thing that I thought was rather interesting in here today is that the advanced decline line for the NYSE is now trading below its 200-day moving average. And now, those kinds of moves don't tend to be sustained during secular bull markets. So it's rather important that it finds support reasonably soon. And then when we think about the advanced decline line for the S&P 500, it's still trending above the 200-day moving average. So that's still confirming that we're still in a secular bull market environment overall, even though this is still a corrective phase. I would anticipate that we're going to see some additional weakness coming through in the S&P 500. It's right in the region of the 200-day moving average right now. We've had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. We've had a rebound, and now we're at least going to go and test to the low and potentially exceed it. And I think this is basically a reflection of what we're seeing from those consumer expectation figures, that we've had very strong earnings growth, and we've had earnings growth that has persisted for 5 or even 6 quarters in a row. And it's been a product of massive monetary and fiscal accommodation. Well, we're coming to the end of the fiscal accommodation pattern, and there's obviously inflationary pressures have spooked some of the central banks, so they're raising rates or talking about raising rates, and there's the expectation that however accommodative financial conditions have been, they're going to become less so. And I think it is relevant to pay attention to what those financial condition charts look like, because the Goldman one, for example, has clearly broken on the upside. So that's suggesting that financial conditions are getting tighter. And the performance of high yield spreads had been really quite contained, but is now advancing. And it's gone from 300 basis points to 375 basis points in just the last couple of weeks. So we're now coming back into that 400 basis point level. And it's generally, I think, if we just look at history, when the spread marches through 500 basis points, that's coincided with rather significant stress in the stock market. So we're in an environment where growth expectations are deteriorating. Central banks seem to be intent on raising interest rates, and financial conditions are tightening. That raises significant questions about just how high can they raise rates without implying that there's going to be a really significant issue in terms of growth. And of course, that's why gold is rallying, because investors are beginning to price in the potential that we're not going to have the same amount of tightening that people had anticipated, and in fact, that central banks are going to have to ease well, or I guess well before they thought that they will ever get to a point of normalization. So it's implying that the cycle on this occasion is going to be extremely short, and that any bout of interest rate hikes is going to last a very short period of time. And that's what the yield curve spread is telling us as well. Because, yes, we've had a bit of a rebound over the course of the last couple of days, but we're down to 50 basis points. And there's been a very swift compression over the course of the last year, coming from 150 to 50 in a very short period of time. So this is also implying that this cycle is going to be shorter than the last, and that it's more likely than not that we're going to have more money in the system for longer. We're also starting to see some pressure coming to bear on private assets, and Bitcoin today was down $3,000. So it did rally to break the sequence of lower rally highs, and now we're coming back down to test the 40,000 level, and it's an area of potential support. The challenge here is that the gimmick that Coinbase deployed for the Super Bowl, well, it probably resulted in demand surging for a brief period. But in order for a price to continue to be sustained, well, then we need to see additional new money coming in. And in an environment where liquidity is deteriorating and financial conditions are tightening, well, then that becomes more of an issue. So Bitcoin is pulling back. And of course, this also helps to confirm that it is a risk asset. So its strength over the course of the last month was at least a short-term support for markets. Its weakness is a confirmation that we're still in a corrective phase overall. And when we think about the Nasdaq, well, it is really very overextended and encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. I think that it's quite likely that we're going to see a 20% pullback, and that it could easily come back and test the region of the 1,000-day moving average, or potentially the peak from early 2020. Considering that the goal is to normalize policy, well, then we may have to also normalize asset prices. So stock prices could come back down and test the pre-pandemic peaks, which would be a full unwinding of the big bull market that accompanied massive, unprecedented, and unimaginably large monetary and fiscal accommodation. And this is also positive for gold, because if we get that kind of corrective phase, then the likelihood is that its fiat currencies are going to take the brunt of the selling pressure, which of course is why gold has been appreciating, in just about all currencies. So when we look at it in pounds, the pound was stronger today versus the US dollar, but gold was stronger than that. So it's now right in the region of this 1400 pound level. When we think about the Australian dollar, it's breaking out. So this has been an orderly consolidation, and now we're pulling away and through the $2,600 area. When we think about the Canadian dollar and all the stress that's been going on there politically, then this is a salve for nerves. So we're seeing gold breaking out in a really a large number of currencies, and there's the real potential that it's going to break out to new all-time highs against the yen, and that might even happen tomorrow. So we're certainly in an environment where, despite the fact that some currencies are strengthening more than others against the dollar, that gold is rallying faster than all of them because it's a limited supply asset, and fiat currencies aren't. And during times when central banks and governments are pressured into spending more than they have, well, then the pressure comes to bear on their currencies because they'll just print the currency to meet their needs. And that's, I think, what gold is beginning to price in now. So gold shares have been really depressed, and now they're starting to rally. And we've seen a substantial rebound over the last 2 weeks in GDX, so bouncing from the lower side of the first step above the base. GDXJ, which is the junior miners, has also rebounded, but it has a broadly similar pattern overall, and really just confirming support in the region of the upper side of the base formation. But I think it's also worth highlighting that we're still early in this bull market because the explorers never completed their base formation during the big breakout in 2020. So we're still in the region of the upper side of the base, but it never took out the peak from early 2016, and I suspect that it will, and that we're going to see a substantial bull market for all portions of the gold mining sector. And the explorers could rally five times, and they would still then only just approximate the peak from back in 2010. The better performers in here today, the ones that really stood out in terms of performance, were the royalty streamers. So Royal Gold was up in a really quite dynamic manner, and so was Franco-Nevada. Now, these are, of course, the assets that all gold investors have wanted to own because they have locked in lower costs of production by investing at the bottom of the cycle, so they get to reap rewards at the top of the cycle. And of course, Franco-Nevada is considerably above where it traded years ago for exactly that reason. So obviously this is a one of the classier operations, and as a result, its valuation is considerably higher. So it trades on a PE of 42. Then we can look at some of the kinds of companies that have had to increase their cost of production. So they were really heavily punished by investors. Regis Resources, for example, in Australia was trading at about $6, and then it fell down to about $2. And it's only just beginning to demonstrate support in here now. Let me move these charts back into the local currency. So it's been severely punished. But then, of course, we also have the valuation. So the valuation's improved a lot. It's now yielding nearly 5%, and the estimated PE is about 12, whereas Franco-Nevada, it's like 42. So obviously, There's both bullish and bearish arguments here, and that the valuation has decreased because there was a negative story attached. And of course, higher average costs of production mean that these types of companies become more levered to the rising price. So Bonaventura has begun to rally, and it has been another one of those companies which saw its cost of production rising pretty substantially. Now, of course, if one is willing to make a bet on the fact that Russia is unlikely to become really aggressive in the Ukraine, well, then a number of the Russian miners have sold off rather aggressively. So Petroplavsk is really quite low right now on an estimated P of 10. But one thing that we can certainly say about these Russian miners is they're not expensive. When a company's trading on a price to sales ratio, it means they're making their valuation back every year in sales alone. So certainly there is risk attached to investing in Russia, but valuations aren't challenging. And these kinds of companies are throwing off reasonably impressive yields, and then also they've got the substantial pullbacks to support the view that perhaps a lot of the risk has already been priced in. Of course, every single gold share has a brighter future if the gold price is rallying. And of course, it's not just gold. Platinum prices popped on the upside yesterday. They weren't up as they've really been struggling to put in these kinds of big advances over the course of the last few years. But platinum is now establishing itself back above the psychological $1,000 level. And silver prices have been in this volatile range now for really what feels like forever. But it looks like a first step above the base overall, and it's a good example of where the price is finding support in the region of that 1,000-day moving average. And that's usually confirmation that we're in a secular bull market. And I continue to think that we're in the early stages of a new bull market for the precious metals and industrial resources generally. I think it was also relevant today that the Dow gold ratio has pulled back rather aggressively. And this looks like a lower high. So I was really enthused by the long-term cyclicality of the Dow gold ratio for years. And I started looking at it nearly 15 years ago. And I thought it was a wonderful predictor of secular bull markets. And I was anticipating that this secular bull market in stocks would persist until the early 2030s. But this trend looks like it's over. So we've had a really impressive advance up from the lows in 2011, and then a big decline, which clearly broke the uptrend, and now it's starting to lose momentum again. And if the ratio starts pulling back and down through the 1,000-day moving average, well, then we would have to conclude that at least there is a fighting chance that gold is going to outperform over the lengthy medium term, and that it's going to be more difficult to make a secular bull market argument about the continued scope for the broad stock market to outperform commodities generally. So we're in a rather interesting environment. Very large portions of the global market are overvalued. And when I saw this report from JP Morgan today, and I'm not allowed to reproduce it, but I thought it was particularly interesting that the market in private assets increased by 25% in 2021 to $27 trillion. And the biggest run-up in that was in digital assets, which of course is a byword for cryptocurrencies. So a lot of the money printed went into the cryptocurrency world, and it's very clearly a risk asset. And pension funds probably own more private assets than most people are willing to or even aware of as being possible. And that exposes a lot of pension holders to extraordinary duration risk. And as interest rates and rise, then that puts those types of model under extraordinary pressure. We've already seen a lot of pressure coming to bear on the 60-40 portfolio. But the 60-40 portfolio is just bonds and equities. And the modern portfolio theory, diversified portfolio, is bonds, equities, and a whole range of private assets. But the whole range of private assets are not nearly as uncorrelated from one another as people might imagine, simply because of weight of money and the depth of participation. So cryptocurrencies are also a way of monitoring that trend because they're easy to sell. It's difficult to sell bits of forestry or ships or pieces of property, but you can sell cryptocurrencies with a keystroke. So what happens in terms of Bitcoin and its ability to find support around that 40,000 level and the loop back that that can have for big institutional portfolios, this is definitely something that's relevant in the context of a broad medium-term correction for stock markets. So I think that we're definitely still in a stock market corrective phase, and the real potential that gold is about to outperform in no uncertain terms. And I think that I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.